Welcome to the Talking Michigan Transportation Podcast. I'm Jeff Cranson. This week, in the wake of news from the federal government that Michigan is receiving a $10 million grant to build an intermodal facility, we will be focusing on all things related to connectedness and what MDOT is doing in the city of Detroit to respond to the community's priorities for transportation. First, I'll be speaking with Jonathan Lurie, a senior project manager at MDOT, involved in much of this work. Then later, I'll speak with Michigan Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, a resident of Detroit and a champion of increasing accessibility and mobility options for everyone. So first up is Jonathan. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So just talk in general, I guess, about, you know, your background and whether you saw yourself being another civil engineer involved in building, designing, thinking about highways and roads and traditional vehicles, and what you're doing really instead of that.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting. I've been with the department for 17 years now, all of them in the city of Detroit, and I've really enjoyed my work down there. I've had the ability to work in many different areas, starting out in design and road scoping and working on construction. And now I'm actually finding myself landing more of in a planning role, which I never thought I would end up in. But it's a very exciting time to be in this role, and there's lots of opportunities and that have presented themselves within the city. I think the current administration for the city planning department is much more forward thinking. I think MDOT is also really looking at being more multimodal moving forward, and there's lots of new tools that allow us to be more flexible and implement some of these things on these really, really transformative projects.
And so the news peg right now is just before Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving, the federal government announced like $1 billion in what are called RAISE grants, and RAISE stands for Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity. And one of those was a $10 million award for the intermodal facility long talked about in New Center, north of downtown Detroit. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that fits into, you know, the goals and objectives both for the city and for MDOT in the city of Detroit?
Yeah, really, it's about looking beyond transportation being just the automobile and, you know, leveraging the facilities and infrastructure to allow people to walk, bike, use transit to move around the city. And the intermodal facility really connecting Amtrak intercity bus to the Q line kind of really opens up the city and the region to Chicago and all those markets beyond, where they can essentially hop on the Amtrak, come down in the New Center, hop on the Q line, get downtown, visit Midtown. You have a lot of cultural resources in there, museums. You know, it's a wonderful place to come and visit, and it really just kind of opens up those opportunities, but also for the people every day moving around in the city.
Yeah, and if you look at it, you know, where that is in New Center, it's reasonably close to Henry Ford Health Systems and close to Wayne State University. Again, not far from downtown. Really, a lot of important places there. So I think that it could be very helpful. Do you think that reflects, you know, as we talked about earlier, what younger generations are saying is are their values and what they want in terms of transportation and alternatives?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, again, you know, not everybody, there's not that the automobile is going away, but there's certain expenses and costs and sacrifices that have to be made to use a vehicle to travel all around, to use a personal automobile to travel all around. And to have these options, you know, especially now when you look at how things have changed with cell phones and Wi-Fi and that connectivity, is that time that's spent using transit or, let's say, an autonomous vehicle can actually be really productive time and not be you know, stuck behind the wheel watching the car in front of you and making sure that you're you're following all the rules. I think it can also be a safer mode in that respect, you know, moving masses of people instead of having individual cars everywhere.
And so what we're looking at is estimated $36 million to $45 million total for that facility, in the hope that if government can put together the funds to build this, there'll be some private development that goes with that and some opportunities for other amenities that would be beneficial to the users. If we can do that, and you know, the director of the department is confident and says it's a real priority, and I know it's a priority of the governor and the administration, that we can find that money and maybe have a groundbreaking sometime next year, that would be really cool. Talk a little bit about I-375 and the rethinking of that corridor. You're heavily involved in that project too, and that also relates to connectivity, or I guess in this case, reestablishing some connections.
Yeah, when that freeway opened in 1964, it has a number of bridges that cross it, but really, in the name of urban renewal, destroyed, you know, some of the surrounding neighborhoods, but also destroyed and made it much, much more difficult for those connections to occur between the central business district and the surrounding neighborhoods. And not only just the freeway itself, it's a rather short stint, about a mile, but the interchange to the north as well is a big hindrance to getting around between some major destinations and growing neighborhoods of Brush Park, Eastern Market. You got the Stadium District, and then you have the existing Lafayette Park neighborhoods. It's really exciting to be able to take kind of an antiquated freeway in this case and look at how that space can be repurposed, how it can not only serve the automobile, but can serve robust bike and pedestrian and walking facilities, and open up all these connections that have been gone, for the last 60 years, connecting down to the riverfront, up into Brush Park, connecting the stadiums to Eastern Market in a much more pedestrian and bike oriented way. And still, and one of the exciting things about this one is even accomplishing all of that and being able to have excess property as well that can be redeveloped and help help the city grow is another really exciting piece of it.
Yeah, it is very exciting. And, you and I have talked about this a lot, and we can't undo the wrongs of, 60 years ago, and in fairness to the designers and engineers then, that's what was going on in a lot of cities across the country. And they know things now, we know things now that they didn't know then. But it's important to acknowledge, I guess, the mistakes that were made and see what we can do going forward. And that's what that project is all about. And it's that kind of project is a real high priority for the Biden administration and for USDOT Secretary Pete Buttigieg. So I think we're all hopeful that there'll be some money that comes out of the infrastructure bill that can help move that forward. And that would be great. Talk a little bit about something else that you're involved in. You're involved in a lot. The planning and environmental linkages study for Michigan Avenue from I-96 to Campus Martius, and what the ultimate goals are there.
Yeah, that one's a really exciting project. It's there's a lot of changes going on in that side of the city in Corktown area with Ford Motor Company moving into the old previously abandoned Michigan Central Station. And what they're bringing in is employees and a basis looking dedicated to electric and autonomous vehicles to that research and implementation. So Ford is really looking at that area as being a mobility hub and testing ground for them, which is exciting. And it also is part of a larger study effort for CAVNU, which is an organization a nonprofit corporation. Looking to create a connected vehicle corridor between Ann Arbor and Detroit. So we have a couple major players in there looking at how really Michigan Avenue can be looked at as a roadway for the future and how it can operate in that way. So the vision that we're moving forward with, and it's really exciting, is of course to really activate the sidewalk, so we're able to reducing some of the vehicular lanes in this area, and the volumes allow us to do this without major impact. We can put a dedicated transit and autonomous vehicle lane in the middle of the corridor, really kind of following a lot of the bus rapid transit type geometries and best practices there, and have different stations throughout and be able to leverage that, but also to expand the sidewalks, activate that space for sidewalk cafes and businesses, and have an at-grade bicycle facility that can also be used for different mobility options, say scooters or bikes or whatever else is gonna come into play. They're actually operating some Kiwi bots right now, which are little robotic wheeled pods that can go around and can deliver food and different things in their program to be able to operate within that space within the sidewalk right now. But I think to really provide some dedicated space gives those developers of those technologies and those types of mobility options, and to be able to explore, try new technologies, and really hone in on and get the maximum benefit out of that type of facility. So it's one that's really exciting. It's taken some time and effort, like all of these projects that are transformative, working with the stakeholders to get them to understand, what we're trying to accomplish and what those benefits can be. And it's one that I think really the community is starting is quite excited about right now, similar to 375 and these other projects.
So would those bike lanes and or, scooter lanes be buffered? Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
They'll be up on sidewalk level. So there'll be the curb, there'll be a small buffer, and then there'll be the bike lane, and then there'll be the sidewalk. So there is some space to work with, but they will be more or less kind of a part of the sidewalk infrastructure.
So I think that I think about myself as a little kid driving to Tiger Games or going to Tiger Games with my family, and what Michigan Avenue was like then, and the incredible capacity and, the lanes that are there. And now, people were worried about what would happen to that corridor when its anchor, Tiger Stadium, was gone. And I don't think even the most optimistic envisioned Corktown becoming what it is, with so many people, homesteading and buying condos there, and bars and restaurants, and an entertainment district already. So I think it really is an exciting time to be doing what you're doing and helping to rethink that. What kinds of things do you hear from the people that are living and invested in the neighborhood as this goes forward?
Yeah, really, we did a lot of outreach early on to understand how people use Michigan Avenue and what they would like to see. And it has gone through a lot of changes, adding in some buffered bike lanes in the corridor in the last 10 years. But none of them have really been solidified within the roadway. So, at one point, Michigan Avenue and Woodward and a lot of these trunk lines, they were essentially this corridor was 9-10 foot travel lanes of traffic. And it's a very uncomfortable as a pedestrian to walk up and down and to really try to cross the roadway. It's a very vehicle oriented roadway the way it's been laid out. So, we hear that people want mid block crossings. They want to feel safer, and so that is part of the design. Really, is making sure that we afford ample walk times for people to cross the corridor. But it's also about, shortening those crossing distances with curb extensions, and we have some lane reductions, and then providing those mid-block opportunities. And not only does that provide additional pedestrian crossings and opportunities, but it also really serves to calm the vehicular traffic that goes through there. So that was really one of the major things we heard was, when you have that many lanes, it really kind of it generates a propensity for people to drive faster, and you get faster speeds through the corridor, and it becomes even less safe. So really, a lot of what we heard was about, how can we slow traffic down, you know, we want people to be able to get to the businesses, but we don't want people speeding through here and making it unsafe for families and for people crossing the roadway.
I think that, you know, as acronyms go, and God knows transportation is, you know, deep in acronyms and can be really difficult to keep track of and just be kind of confusing. But the one for this particular study, planning and environmental linkages, known as PEL study, I think those are just great words for what this is all about and what you're doing. So tie it all together for me, I guess. You know, someday you'll be able to tell future generations that, you know, you had a thumbprint on kind of remaking the city and its connectedness. And you know, how does that feel thinking about the intermodal facility and 375 and Michigan Avenue?
I guess I will just say, you know, coming off the Thanksgiving holiday, yeah, I feel blessed to be able to be a part of all of these great projects. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to get them off the ground and developed to where they are and to get them into the design and construction. But I think it's all well worth it. And really, I guess it's really just an exciting time to be involved in these and to really, you know, have those tools, you know, going from, you know, what's been more dictated from the Green Book to having flexibility with NACTO and other things. And also having some more alignment, I think, really between local, state, and national levels in terms of, you know, how we effectively move people around. It's great to be able to revisit some of these previous roadways that really need to be kind of re-envisioned and reimagined and put a thumbprint on it.
Well said. And you know, I think that patience is, you know, really the greatest thing here, and you've got it, and that's what it takes to stay with all these things and juggle them and tie them together. So I certainly appreciate the work you're doing. So thank you for taking time to talk today.
Thanks again for having me, Jeff.
Okay, and I'll be back in a minute with Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, who lives very near that Michigan Avenue corridor we were talking about and has been a great champion of multimodal uses, and we'll talk about the RAISE grant and the other things that John discussed and outlined for us. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Michigan Department of Transportation reminds you that when a vehicle collides with another vehicle, person, or other object, it is a crash, not an accident. By reducing human error, we can prevent crashes and rebuild Michigan roads safely.
As promised, I'm back with Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, who is a repeat visitor to the podcast, and I always appreciate him taking time. Thank you very much, sir.
Jeff, thank you for having me. And as always, I want to thank all the professionals in MDOT for their service to the state of Michigan.
We appreciate that. So I talked earlier with John Lurie, who is the project manager for a number of initiatives that we have going on related to connectivity, the I-375 project, the Pell study for Michigan Avenue from Corktown down to Campus Martius. And he's also been involved in the intermodal facility, which is the news peg here, because we got a, you know, $10 million grant from the federal government to move that forward. And we're really hopeful that next year we'll put together the rest of the money and maybe have a groundbreaking down there. So just from your perspective as a multimodal user, a champion of different modes, talk about what all this means to you.
Well, Jeff, I think it's really important, because when we think about people using multiple modes of transportation, what we're really talking about is having enough flexibility and responsiveness in our system for people to be able to use whatever methods make sense for them to get from point A to point B to point C, to get to their job, to get to their kids, to get to their educational experiences, or the doctor, or the grocery store, or to entertainment, to have fun, to see family and friends. And so a system is really healthy and rich when we offer a wide array of services so people can use whatever makes sense, whatever that context may be for them. And this is something I experienced very deeply, to your point, as a Detroiter with my wife and then my very young babies, using multiple modes of transportation when we did not have a private car that we owned or leased. And so I was using the bus, riding bikes, taking, short-term rental cars like Zipcars, using Ubers, walking. You know, we really used everything that was available to us to have a real and rich city experience. And by MDOT, you know, seeking these types of funds and support, and in the state of Michigan, investing in these solutions for people in different communities, that's really going to lead to a higher quality of life and a more rich living experience for people in all of our communities. And I'm really excited to bring that to fruition.
So as your kids grow up, not too far from that Michigan corridor, they'll absolutely benefit from some of the things that they're doing, whether it's bike lanes or scooter lanes or better pedestrian access, all those things. That it can be very personal for you.
Like literally, I'm looking out of my window right now onto Michigan Avenue from Corktown toward downtown. So this is very specifically a corridor that I'm very familiar with, that I walked with my children and my wife with just on Saturday night, two nights ago. And so we this is well-worn path for our family and for a lot of families here in the West Side of Detroit.
As we're wont to do as a society to simplify things, they so often get framed as an either or. And for years, this whole thing with multimodal access, especially in the Motor City, has been framed as either or, like somehow that's contrary to the automobile industry, which is obviously still very important to our state, very important to our economy. Do you get that question? Do you wrestle with how to frame that?
You know, I do get it a lot, and I think about it. And look, I'm a kid. My mother was an accountant at General Motors for 32 years, and everybody else in my family worked in the big three. I see these companies as transportation companies, and that's how they see themselves, and finding and delivering transportation solutions for people to be able to be their best selves by getting where they need to go and what needs to get there. And so from my perspective, I believe, however, that all of our infrastructure, whether it's our streets or anything else that we build, they're for people. And so making sure that people have choices about how they interact and engage with that infrastructure is really what we're here for. And so I don't think this is a mutually exclusive either or zero sum proposition. Having choices is what matters, because those choices allow, again, our infrastructure solutions to be responsive to whatever people need, when they need it, how they need it, in a way that makes sense for them. And that's what we need to optimize for.
So we've talked about this before, but it relates to this topic because it's all about connectivity and the other initiatives. So we know that the I-375 conversion is moving forward, has lots of support from you and Governor Whitmer and Mayor Duggan and the federal government. Certainly the Biden administration and Secretary Buttigieg have said that's the kind of project, you know, they want to look at. So talk a little bit more about that and how you see that fitting into the bigger picture of really a new Detroit from a transportation perspective.
You know, 375 is that project is going to be important for two big, big reasons. One is that it gives us an opportunity to right a wrong from the past, and it gives us an opportunity to set our community on a path towards a better connected and more prosperous future. And the inclusive design process that's going to go into what that new surface look and infrastructure looks like, I'm very excited about, as someone who has childhood roots in the neighborhood that was broken up by that freeway when it was constructed. And so I think the community is really looking forward to finding a way to connect, to be better connected. I think our communities are stronger when they're better connected. I think they're more vibrant when they're better connected. And when people can see where they can go, literally, when people can see that there are not barriers that stand between people and goods, services, ideas, relationships, and connecting 375 or that space in this way will really, I think, unlock a new generation of opportunities, of potential wealth creation, of business development, of public spaces that I think is going to help that near east side of Detroit, which is near and dear to my heart because where I grew up in the beginning of my childhood, it's going to make it be an amazing and vibrant place.
So did you dream when you joined the ticket in 2018 and pursued this lieutenant governor gig that you would be so knee deep in transportation and talking about it and at the really at a crucial time for the city of Detroit and really the whole state?
You know, I didn't know that it would be on this scale or to this degree, but I'm so proud to be here in this moment. And, you know, I think I've shared on this podcast before, you know, I've had an evolution personally as becoming a multimodal transportation advocate. You know, look, I grew up in Detroit and its suburbs. My dad told me that if I kept my grades up, back when I was like 8 years old, if I kept my grades up, he'd help me get a car when I was 16. And that happened. And that was my pride and joy and my identity, my 98 Grand Am that I had as a 16-year-old. And I think to go along the journey, having lived in other parts of the country where I saw what it meant to have robust public transit and transportation options that were available, that were convenient, that were affordable, that were reliable, and experiencing that and being able to have a vision for delivering that for people in Michigan and in Detroit. I'm proud to be a public servant at this moment in history to make that happen.
Was it during that time when you were riding the bus to Ann Arbor during your U of M years that the social justice imperative really came clear to you and how that fits into this?
You know, the inequities of lack of access to public transit, and public transit in a way that is, again, convenient and useful for people to be able to get to work or to get to school or to get to the doctor or get to the grocery store, is something unfortunate that I've seen in every market where I've used public transit. I've seen it on the West Coast, I've seen it on the East Coast, I've seen it in Detroit. And I think what that shows is that there must be an intention set. There must be a purpose with how we design these solutions to truly, one, engage the people who actually will use the services in the design process so that they actually are responsive to their needs. And then making sure that we're fully funding and resourcing those solutions that they come up with. That is how we will achieve the justice that people deserve.
So what do you think about the concept of the intermodal facility and news center a few miles from downtown, but you know, near Wayne State, near Henry Ford Health Systems, a couple of major institutions with people that will use all those things, the Q Line, Amtrak. Are you excited about that prospect?
I think, again, this is going to be a hub for innovation when it comes to better connecting our communities and our people. I can't wait to see the connections and relationships that are built because we have this center of excellence, frankly, here in the heart of the city. I'm excited about what that means and what the professionals and innovators are going to be able to deliver for transit users and for people who are doing business in that part of the city. I think it's going to be a model, hopefully, that we can then replicate in other parts of the state.
Okay, well, that's really good. Anything else you want to say to tie this all together in terms of connectivity and, you know, what Detroit is going to look like when your kids are growing up and maybe when their kids are growing up?
Well, I just want to reiterate the point that, you know, all of the investments that we make in infrastructure, all the investments that we make in transit and transportation, the investments in any systems that we build, this is about people. These are all inherently social enterprises because they are about people. Connecting people, enabling people, positioning people, and the goods and services and things, commodities and things that people need to be their best selves, to be healthy, to be productive, to be prosperous, to be connected. And we have to keep people at the center of how we make these choices and make these investments. And when we do, we can do everything except fail. And I'm really excited about what we're going to achieve.
Yeah, that's very well said. Did you also want to add, go blue?
Oh, all day, every day. We're gonna be in the college football playoff, and they, you know, I'm ready to see Georgia.
Saturday was a big day. My son is a freshman there, and that was his first OSU game, and he's pretty excited about the whole thing.
May he never forget it.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for doing this as always. I appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care, everyone.
Thank you again for listening to this week's edition of the Talking Michigan Transportation Podcast. I would like to thank Randy Doubler and Corey Petey for engineering this week's podcast. To subscribe to show notes and more, go to Apple Podcasts and search for Talking Michigan Transportation.